Friends, yesterday we celebrated the 4th of July, our independence from England, our freedom. It is a day that we remembered those who gave their lives for the freedoms that we have, and we continue to remember and support those who, even at this moment, are out there risking their lives, protecting this freedom we cherish. And I truly appreciate the freedom. I appreciate the freedom and the right to go wherever I want to, the right to speak my mind, the right to preach to you, my right to live wherever I want to live, my right to bear arms and to worship the way that I want to, when I want to, and how I want to. And I know that you and others in this great country feel the same. But what troubles me is this. There are thousands of Americans who would gladly risk their lives to protect this freedom we know, and yet they allow themselves to be enslaved. Enslaved to sin and to Satan. Many people understand freedom as the right to do whatever they want. Well, this is America. I can do whatever I want. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to believe. For when we are left to do whatever we want with no boundaries, our sin nature will kick in, and without even knowing it, we will enslave ourselves to the devil, one freedom at a time. That's one of the tricks of Satan, to get us to think that we are free to do, that we have the right to do whatever we want. And each time we exercise that right, we actually shackle ourselves tighter and tighter to Satan, because freedom to do whatever we want isn't truly freedom at all. And this kind of freedom will change us. It will control us. It happens slowly, and we don't even know it's happening. It controls us as if we're possessed, and people say, I don't know what's gotten into them. They're not the person I used to know. It is only when we understand the truth behind freedom that we will ever truly be free. And the truth is found in Jesus Christ. In John 8:32, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, then you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus Christ is the truth, and he can set us free from the slavery of sin and death and whatever possesses us, whatever it is that tries to control us. So let me give you an example. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus had been hanging around the Sea of Galilee, and as it was getting evening, he and his disciples get in a boat, and they start crossing the sea to the other side. By the time they get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, it is dark. And as they land, a man possessed by a demon comes running out of a dark tomb at Jesus and the disciples. He's running and he's screaming. The man at one time was just an ordinary Joe. But now he has changed. He once lived in a house and slept in a bed, but now he lives in a tomb and sleeps with the dead, and he cuts himself with sharp rocks. He is out of control. The people had tried to control him. They bound him in chains, but he would break those chains. People said, we don't know what's gotten into him. He's not the man we used to know. So this changed man runs down to the shore, and as Jesus gets out of the boat, he throws himself at Jesus' feet, but not to worship him. The man is possessed, and the demon in him is terrified because it knows that it is in the presence of someone superior and far greater than it is. So the demon kneels before Jesus in an attempt to beg for mercy, fearing for its existence. And it shouts out at the top of its voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Now, here's an interesting thing. Jesus has never been in this place before, and yet this demon knows his name and knows who he is. Why? And the demon even gives him a title, Son of the Most High God. Why? Because all of this is an attempt to control Jesus. It was believed in that day that if you could name a spirit, then you could control that spirit. And so the demon thinks if he can shout out Jesus' name first, that he can control Jesus. Doesn't work that way. And so he begins to beg for mercy. He says, "What do you want with me?" The demon knows that it is only a matter of time before Jesus defeated evil, and it fears that that was the time that Jesus had come and would either destroy him or would imprison it until the time of judgment. And so it begs Jesus not to torture it. Now it did this because Jesus had ordered it to come out of the man, and the demon knew that Jesus wouldn't harm it as long as it possessed a man, because that would then harm the man. But it also knew that if it had to vacate the premises, it would lose all of its protection. And so it begs. Then Jesus asked, "What is your name?" And he doesn't do this to control the demon, but he's showing he already has control, because Jesus has given this demon a command, and it must answer. It must obey. And the demon replies with the name Legion, because it was not just one demon, but many. And those who were there watching this must have been shocked, even terrified, because a legion was a military term for a group of Roman soldiers. 6,000 soldiers made up a legion. Now, we're not sure if this man was possessed by 6,000 demons or not, but no, it was many, many demons. The demon begs Jesus not to send them to the abyss. This is a place where the evil ones would be imprisoned until Christ's final judgment, which is referenced in Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3. And in Hebrew, the abyss is known as the watery deep, a place below the earth where the seas and oceans connect. The demon begs not to be sent into this abyss, but asks Jesus to send them into a nearby herd of pigs. And Jesus grants this request. Now notice what the pigs or the demons do to the pigs. In verse 33, the demons came out of the man, went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake, and they drowned. The demons destroyed the herd of pigs. Now, why would they do that? They just asked to be placed? Because that's what demons do. They destroy. They tried to destroy the man and couldn't do it completely. So they begged Jesus to spare them and send them into the pigs, and then they destroyed them because they couldn't control that destructive nature that is within them, and they killed the pigs. Now, we aren't sure what happened to the demons, if they were released to go and possess someone else or if they were imprisoned. But the sea was considered to be part of the watery deep, the abyss. Thus, Luke may be implying that they sent themselves into the watery deep to imprisonment. This did not happen just in a vacuum with Jesus and his disciples, but the herd, the shepherds and the pig herders who were there, they were there, the villagers were there, and when they saw what happened, they ran into town to tell everyone. And as they're running by, they're yelling to the people in the country as well, letting them know what's going on. And the people couldn't believe what they were hearing, and so they go out to the tombs to see for themselves. And when they get there, they are shocked to see hundreds of pigs floating in the sea. But perhaps more shocking is what they see next. The man. For so long, they knew the man as Old Weird Larry. I don't know if that's what they called him, but I'm sure they had their names for him. He was always screaming and trying to scare people. His face was distorted, running around with shackles attached to his wrists and his ankles, bare naked and eating dirt and garbage and cutting himself with things. But now here is Larry dressed and sitting calmly at Jesus' feet, very sane and very in control. But instead of rejoicing about this, the people become afraid. They had been afraid of Weird Larry who was possessed by a demon, but now they're even more afraid of the man who could control the demons. So they ask Jesus to leave their land, and he does. Now, I want you to notice the contrast between verses 27 through 29 and verse 35. In verses 27 to 29, the man is out of his mind. He's out of control. He's naked, and he's running around screaming and hollering. But in verse 35, he's calm. He's clothed. His hair is combed back. His face is washed. He's sitting normal, and he's quietly sitting there at Jesus' feet, very much in control. Very sane. It was a miraculous change, a change caused by Jesus, the living Word of God, the truth. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And Jesus said, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life." Now, I had heard this story, I've read this story so many times. And like I've always told you, I'm an imaginative person, so I'm hearing this story and I'm trying to picture what happened here. What did that look like? What did the people see on that night? But I could never quite capture it. That is until I saw this scene from the movie The Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. In this scene, King Theoden is under the curse of an evil wizard, Saruman, a curse that has possessed him and changed him and enslaved him. So let's watch and see what happens.
My lord, Gandalf the Grey is coming.
The courtesy of your hall is somewhat lessened of late, Theoden King.
He's not welcome.
Why should I welcome you, Gandalf Stormcrow?
A just question, my liege. Late is the hour in which this conjurer chooses to appear. Last spell I name him. Ill news is an ill guest.
Be silent. Keep your forked tongue behind your teeth. I have not passed through fire and death to bandy crooked words with a witless wolf.
Stop. I told you to take the wizard. Stop!
Too long have you sat in the shadows. I would stay still if I were you. Hearken to me. I release you from the spell.
You have no power here, Gandalf the Grey.
I will draw you, Saruman, as poison is drawn from a wound. I go. Theoden dies. You did not kill me. You will not kill him. Rohan is mine. Be gone.
Oh,
Gandalf?
Breathe the free air again, my friend. Fingers would remember their old strength better if they grasped your sword.
Said when I'd read this story, I had a hard time seeing it. But when I saw that and I remembered this story, I thought, I wonder if that was what the people saw that night, that as this man was confronted with the truth, he was freed from that which possessed him, and he changed right in front of their very eyes. Now, regardless of where you may stand on your belief of whether or not demon possession is possible or not, I think we all can agree that evil exists and it works against us. But I don't believe that you have to be possessed in order to be enslaved or controlled by evil. I believe the temptations of selfishness, greed, and pride, and sloth, and addiction, and lust, and hate, and racism, and all of these things are all powerful enough to control us and enslave us so that we are not truly free. We may not be possessed by a demon, but we can certainly be controlled by demonic influence. But we don't have to be. For Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." It is for freedom. Jesus died to set us free from our sin, and he died to give us freedom. But what is this freedom we talk about? Is it the right to do whatever we want, regardless of how it affects other people? For left to our own desires, we would enslave ourselves to our sin nature and Satan. No, our freedom in Christ is the freedom to do what was impossible before we knew Christ. And that is to live unselfishly, to serve God, to serve one another, and to the freedom not to sin. Satan keeps telling us that true freedom is the freedom to do whatever we want. But the truth is, freedom to sin is enslavement to the devil. Jesus' freedom isn't the freedom to do whatever we wish, but the freedom to be all that God has created us to be. It's the freedom to not sin, the freedom to love one another. Galatians 5:13, "You are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Serve one another, all one another, regardless of our political affiliation, regardless of the color of our skin or our nationality or where we come from, we are called to love one another. That is freedom. But this will only happen when we know the truth, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, and the truth will set us free. And we can find truth in Christ's words, and Christ's words found in Holy Scripture are words of truth, and in these words are the very key to our freedom, Jesus. The words themselves can't set us free, but the one who spoke them can. And they will make us strong, and they will keep us free if we will hold to their teachings. Folks, evil is real. Demons are real. Satan is real. And there is a spiritual warfare going on around us all the time, and we are constantly being besieged by the enemy, and that can tire us out. That can weaken us and cause us to fall away from Christ. But God has not left us unprotected. He has given us spiritual armor, the belt of truth, sandals of readiness, a helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, a shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In the video clip, after the king has been released from his demon, he is weak, he is tired, and Gandalf tells King Theoden, "Your fingers would remember their old strength better if they grasped your sword." That's good advice for us as well. When we are feeling attacked and realize that we have slipped away from the Lord and enslaved ourselves again to a sin, or we're feeling weak, we don't have enough strength, we need to reach out and grab our sword, the sword of the Lord. We need to grab it with both hands. We need to read it. We need to apply it to all parts of our lives. Expose ourselves to the truth. Hold on to these teachings, and the truth will set us free. Amen? But not free to do whatever we wish to do, but free to serve Christ and free to be all that God has created us to be. That, my friends, is true freedom. And so, this weekend, yes, celebrate our independence, celebrate our freedom that we have in this country, and be thankful for the rights we have, especially the right to worship and the right to bear arms, our sword. Our arms. Expose ourselves to the truth in the Spirit of the Lord. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, we're told, there is true freedom. So, my friends, grasp your sword and choose this day whom you will serve. Amen. Amen.